Yo. Hey. Can you hear me?
You listening to W-A-W. What a week.
What a week. Welcome to Wow, What a Week. In this week's edition, we're dealing with power. Nope, we won't be speaking to a guy named Andre, but we will be speaking to other people about the power of soul, the power of positivity, and the power of, power banks. Welcome back to Wow, What a Week.
This is
Wow!
What a week.
What a week. You can't make this shit up.
Our guest is in the building. He's been funny on stage, acted on a range of shows from comedy to drama, made memorable adverts, yes, helped to educate us on car spinning and making sishebo, and even danced on TV. He's practically a tampon advert. He can do anything. Please give a wow welcome to Mr. Mudikwani, a.k.a. Mpo Pops.
What a week. What a wow.
What a dude.
What an amazing show.
How you doing, man?
I'm good. How are you?
You know, every time I've had you on any of my shows, we've gotten in trouble with the white people.
Yes. Every single time.
Why do you keep upsetting white people?
I don't know. I think the last time they were upset because I said, because it was the time the lion attacked an owner.
Yeah.
And I said, it's funny how the lion only ate the white person. Because maybe lions know something we don't know, that white people are delicious.
Yeah, the chicken of the jungle. No, how about a white meat is good for you?
Protein. No, I don't know what it is. You know, even when I started doing comedy, because when you start, you know, you gravitate towards race stuff. So I was strategic about it. I would get on stage and I'd make fun of myself first.
Oh yes,
myself and my race first. Then I'd slowly move towards white people, because then after black people, I'd go Indian, then I'd go colored. Then by the time I get to white, it's okay, because we've laughed at everyone.
Exactly.
But we're like, hey.
In fact, the only reason we started Wow What a Week is so that I could get you on my own platform without worrying whether you're going to upset people. It's the only reason I did this thing. After this interview, we're shutting down everything. In fact, you speak of starting your comedy career. You know, you often talk about how your depression is what got you into comedy.
Yes.
I thought depression makes you want to stay home and do nothing. How do you want to go?
I think depression makes you, it can do one of two things.
Yeah.
It can make you give up, or it can make you fight for your life.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what happened to me, because I remember this moment. You know, my mom had just kicked me out of her house. And you know, I don't know why she was so dramatic about it. When she kicked me out, she got a truck to come fetch my stuff, my man. Fresh. I was living in a room in my mother's house. She got a truck to fetch my things. How much stuff did she think I had? Because when I loaded that truck, all my stuff fit into a corner. It was a long flatbed. And there I am now, leaving Mondio, going to Zone 9 Meadowlands.
So how old are you when your mom is kicking you out of the house?
Oh, I think I was 18, 19. Yeah, she kicked me out. I was living somewhere.
So you don't own much when you're 18 anyway.
Exactly. She just kicked me out with all the things that I had. And then I went to Zone 9 Meadowlands to stay with my gran.
Sure.
And I remember that's when things became real. You know, the poor decision-making had caught up with me.
You're 18. That's your career, making poor decisions. How do you punish someone for that?
No, but what she did was the best thing she could have ever done as a mother. Because most parents aren't able to do that. Most parents aren't able to recognize, Gorwena, you're going down the wrong path.
You need tough love.
Exactly. Yeah. She administered that tough love. And I remember being Kuzona in Meadowlands. I stayed in the back room.
Yes.
My gorge.
So already you were like a laborer at home.
And I was with my grandmother. Yeah. Like, my grandmother would wake you up at 5 a.m.
Mm. It's like, Mama, I'm unemployed. Why am I? I'm a child.
Yes.
I couldn't do anything. I'd just get random knocks on the door. How did she smell?
I haven't even started smoking. What do you think?
And banyana bakeni mo akir banya.
It's like, go, 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 go.
Yeah,
And what's it with
parents? O tlo elo fetsa dawn.
What Vaseline fela ka pele so bo rumela. Ku pa robele butsim nyako tu.
Yes.
And why do parents when they catch you make it seem like you were with someone else?
Dude, it was when me and my hand.
How hey ere ke le tlogele. What do you mean?
No, but you know why though? Because they understand that at that age,
mm-hmm.
you have a mental wank bank.
Uh-huh.
So as you're scrambling there, you've accessed someone in your wank bank. So to go, you are not alone in the
room. Mm-hmm. And then after that, they don't trust you. Now you can't touch things in the house anymore.
Hey. Bula raka ka left hand.
You can't do anything. Dude, you can't go from we're watching TV to go get water.
Hey, it was
and they knew Bella on Saturdays you'd have to watch Emmanuel with no volume.
Oh yes.
Yes.
And you still get caught.
You still get caught. Because as Emmanuel is on Oshale volume down, Oplomile, then as soon as you hear movement you change the channel. But now it looks suspicious. Why are you watching the documentary?
Only listen to Rook, your pants are halfway down. And they're watching Desmond Dube telling you how to help.
Clientele line?
Why are your pants down and Desmond is busy doing?
These people are expensive. God bless them. Promise.
Desmond always comes out of weird situations.
These people are expensive. God bless them.
Or a little class. Death can be expensive.
Oh, okay.
That is why my coffin has airbags. At Clientele, we now offer coffins with airbags. Because you never know what could happen down there.
Fish.
Oh, man.
Mad. But yeah, that's, for me, that's where it all began, you know. And
we did ask a question, by the way.
Yes, and this... That's where it began for me, because I remember sitting in that room. Yeah. I'll never forget it. I remember there was a time at the height of my depression. I was laying in there.
Mm.
Where I slept, the roof used to leak.
Jeez.
You know?
So rain was never welcome.
There's nothing more sad than sleeping with an umbrella. But
being the only guy praying for drought.
And it used to get so cold. You know when you speak, that mist. You look like you're vaping.
Yes.
And I remember, as cold as it was, I would never sleep in the blankets. I would lay because the pain I was feeling didn't allow me to feel the physical pain.
Oh, yes.
And I remember I was at my lowest point in my life. And I remember at that point, there was like a turning point that happened. Because I was going to UJ at the time.
Sure.
So I took my transport book and I was like, you know what? Let me combat this by writing happy thoughts, things that
was suicide ever an option for you?
Honestly speaking, it crossed my mind a couple of times.
Sure.
And the only thing that kept me from doing it is my dad committed suicide.
Oh wow.
Right? My dad committed suicide.
So surely that didn't help?
It didn't, and I saw what it did to our family.
How old were you when dad?
I was 11.
Jeez.
Yeah, I was 11 years old.
And who told you?
It wasn't my mom.
Yeah.
And I was so upset with her when I was young, and going back now, I'm just like, I needed to direct my anger somewhere, but I directed it to my mom, because my mom didn't tell me. My mom told me he got hijacked, and he didn't want to give up the car. And then...
So who told you that?
My sister told me, like, and she didn't spare, you know,
the details.
She literally told me how it happened.
Jeez.
The letter that he left, you know, where it happened, how it happened. And I remember for the longest of time, because even when I was in varsity, you know, when you're in varsity, you see other kids living certain lives and you're like, this could have been me.
Yes.
Dad was doing well. Like he was one of the first guys that had amazing jobs at before Unilever was called Unilever, it was Lever Brothers.
Oh yes.
And he went on to MTN. He was part of the first group that got shares in MTN. So he was doing so well.
So do you know why he wanted to check out?
I didn't know at the time, and I blamed him for it.
Sure.
And then the older I got, is the more I understood.
Mm.
And because I'd made an oath and a promise to myself that I would never put my family through something like that.
Sure.
I made a conscious decision to fight for my life. And that's where something like comedy helped, because comedy became my happy place. You know, it became somewhat of an escape. But I think more than just saying, you know what, I'm gonna end it, it's realizing that there's certain things you have to learn to deal with, and that's where balance becomes more important.
Oh yes. Yeah.
So I think we live in a world where a lot of us aren't attuned with what we need to create a healthy balance in our lives. So and I honestly believe that suicide catches you at a moment of weakness.
Yes.
I feel like there's so many guys, like if you look at Ricky has been had been battling this thing for years.
Yeah.
And I feel like there was a moment where in his weakness, he succumbed to. Because
And often it's at the moment.
It's at that moment.
Yeah.
At that moment. And I feel like that's why it's important to have a healthy balance of everything in your life. You gotta look after yourself. You gotta sleep properly. You gotta eat properly. You gotta exercise regularly. You gotta have a healthy friendship lifestyle. You gotta have a healthy family balance. A lot of us we put ourselves into one category. We go, for the next 10 years of my life, I'm just gonna work.
Yes.
I'm just gonna work. And then you're surprised why you're not happy. You're making all this money. You've got all these accolades, but you're not happy.
Sure.
Because you've affected the balance in the other spheres in your life.
What balance is your golden rose bringing to your life?
Hey, fresh. I don't have any golden roses in my life.
You don't?
No, for a long time.
What happened? Keegan, what happened? What happened, Keegan? What happened?
Do you know a show called Kumbule Kai?
Yeah. What happened?
No. So
no, hold on, man. Just now in lockdown, you guys were relationshiping.
Hey, Fred, just now. Lockdown was long ago. It was 2 lifetimes ago.
No, lockdown was just now.
No, we split up. So Rose and I broke up.
Why? I'd never seen you as happy as I saw you with Rose.
Yes, because you saw the social media side of things.
Even when I met you guys on No Ship.
Yes.
No, no, not. You guys look like you're Noah and Miss Noah. These are all our animals.
I was, you know, and that's the one thing I'll never deny.
Yeah.
It was really good while it lasted. But I think over time, you start realizing certain things about your relationship.
Sure.
That don't speak to who you are and what you aspire to.
Okay, so basically, I'm done. I got to post them out.
Hey, that's also the other thing is living a social media life with
or relationship.
Don't ever do. It's like guys who gym with their. With
so
their
are they partners. Right? Hashtag it will end in tears.
It will definitely end in tears because that's the thing, right?
Yeah.
Is you end things.
Yes.
The world hasn't forgotten that you doesn't know that you've ended things.
Exactly.
So there you are dealing with heartbreak.
Yeah.
Buying your asparagus go Woolworths or go pick and pay.
And then tomorrow,
someone goes, hey, okay, mangma.
Exactly.
Then you do that face.
And you thought you were worried about your piecemeal of asparagus tomorrow. There's a problem now.
No, so things ended there, and I was very sad. But also, when things ended there, I was going through the absolute most. You know, that's when I was literally when life had brought me to my knees.
Sure.
And yeah, things ended there. And I went, after that, I went on my recovery. A couple of months later, I checked myself into a wellness clinic, a rehabilitation center.
I was going to say, what is a wellness clinic?
It's a fancy term for a rehabilitation center.
So what were you being rehabilitated for?
For everything.
Drugs?
for depression, alcohol. And it's not that I was an alcoholic. You know what type of person I am, Fresh? I get now war. You know,
If I'm drinking, I'm drinking everything.
Yes.
Yeah.
And we're gonna do it all now.
Sure.
We're gonna. So.
So you went Trevor Gumby levels, basically.
Yes.
Yes.
I was literally at Gumby levels.
Yeah.
And it was starting to affect me. And here's the thing: I always say to people, if you're gonna drink or if you're gonna smoke weed, do it when your mind is right. Because when you're doing it, when you're dealing with problems, you only prolong your problems. You put yourself in emotional debt, and you're not dealing with the issue at hand. And a lot of us do that when we're going through stuff, especially men.
Sure.
We're going through stuff. Go, hey, it's one man cheated on me. You go, Ndwana, let's go drink.
Sure.
Let's go get more girls. It's like, no, that's not what I'm actually asking for. I'm saying to you, I'm hurting.
Sure.
This is how I want to deal with this thing, you know?
Deal with it, but let's go drink.
Yeah,
now.
Let's go drink now. Let's, you know what? So we drink when we celebrate, we drink when we down. So at some point, something had to give. And I was very conscious that the life that I was living was not the life I wanted to live. And I wanted to do something. So that was my big drastic move. And ever since then, I'm great. I was going to say,
but life is looking good right now for you.
It's so
I mean, you're almost on every TV show or every advert. Or let's go through the darkness of, I don't think I'm coming from here, to, oh shit, I'm out of this thing.
Yeah, man. And I think that's why that journey was so important. Because I didn't see myself where I am today a year and 4 months ago. You know, life had brought me to my knees. I was literally on the brink of, what do I do now?
So you've been here before, where you've dealt with depression, but suicide is not an option. Brings you to your knees. Suicide is still not an option. But you know you must get through this.
Yes.
What's keeping you going from day to day?
And you bring that up as well. I also realized that in my behavior, yes, I might have signed a contract with myself and God and my ancestors, but this will never be an option.
Sure.
But in my behavior, I am mirroring, I'm doing the things of someone who wants to check out.
Sure.
You know, I'm living recklessly. Yeah. I'm drinking. I'm doing all these things. I'm putting my life, my reputation, my career, my family's well-being on the line.
Sure.
Because of the choices I'm making. So in a way, I might not be doing it the traditional way, but after a while, I started looking at it from an external point of view. I'm like, these things I'm doing, I'm actually self-sabotaging.
Yes, yes, yes.
And a lot of us do that when we get to certain points in our lives and we start self-sabotaging and we don't understand why. And I knew I needed to change that, and I did. And ever since I did that, I've, you know, for the past year and 4 months, I have done the absolute best that I've ever done in my career.
Sure.
You know, and that's why I'm able to do all these things that you're mentioning. It's because I'm in a good a state of mind.
Sure. You went for a service.
I went for a proper service. And what I want people to understand also about rehabilitation, it's not a pedal beating station.
Yes.
You can't come in bakuluki semunz. You have to maintain afterwards.
But also you have to know that my car needs a service.
Yes.
We mustn't tell you your car needs a service.
Exactly.
You must know need a service.
Yes, you must regularly service the vehicle. That's why I'm able to do all these things. If I was doing the things I was doing now 2 years ago, I wouldn't have been able to cope.
Yeah.
You know, I'm able to cope and I'm flourishing, man, and I'm happy. I'm in such a peaceful place in my life, and I'm so happy, you know?
Sure.
And I've got my family back. God was able to bless me. Libadimba Kokhai were able to bless me.
Getting your family back means what exactly?
It means...
Finally, Mama says you can come home.
Yes. Because that's exactly what happened. So when I went to rehab, I decided to... Because I was like, okay, seeing as though I'm going to be gone for a month, let me fix my house.
Yeah.
And then I got my house done, and I thought it would take about a month.
Yeah.
But it didn't. It ended up taking like 4 or 5. So in that time, I stayed with my mom.
So you believe the contractor when they said a month?
I did.
It's never a month.
So then I went to stay with my mom when I came back. Mm. So the kid who got kicked out at 18, 19, finally at the age of 35, moved back in with his mom. and it was honestly the best. I think I stayed an extra month. So for 6 months,
yeah,
I started my life again from scratch.
What conversations were you having with mom in that period?
Oh, man, I was having the most deepest conversations. Mm. We had a conversation about... My mom opened up to me about things that we've never spoken about in my entire life. Mm. We had a conversation about my dad.
So you started a friendship with your mother?
My mom and I have always been extremely close,
yeah.
But we became even closer.
Sure, sure.
You know, we started again. And that's where I felt like my life started again. So yeah, so it was that. And then also Umama Sekhaya
yes.
said, all right, you can come home. So yeah, I'm married. Yes.
To whom?
I'm happily married to Imani's mom. So I am back together with
Imani, as in
my daughter,
as in Olidia Chelet.
Hey, then we can carry on.
Let's talk about raising Imani.
Oh man,
how are you raising Imani that she doesn't have to live what you lived?
You know what? Yeah. Let me be very honest with raising Imani. So
Imani, not Imani.
Yeah, Imani.
Imani is what she will wear one day.
Yes.
Yeah.
Imani. Imani is a Swahili for faith.
Yes.
So I won't lie. Initially, I feel like when you've lived a certain life, you always want to make sure your kids have the better or the best.
Mm.
And sometimes as parents, what we don't realize is we overcompensate.
Oh, yes.
So my relationship with Imani from day one till this day is amazing. Imani and I are best friends.
Mm.
You know, we talk about everything. Mm.
How old is Imani now?
She's turning 11 on the 23rd of July.
Mm. Mm.
So we talk about everything. We spend time together. Mm. We go on daddy-daughter dates where it's just the two of us. We dress up and we use it as our little bonding and catching up time. So I've always been intentional about that stuff. But there are things or areas where I've also realized that I'm overcompensating, you know? Mm. And it's her that'll bring me back, you know? Because I come with this mentality of like, I can.
And
so let me do this for you. And she's like, no.
All they want is time.
That's it.
And I realized that myself, that I was breaking my back trying to give my kids everything my dad couldn't. But I was failing them at the one thing my dad failed me at, time.
Time, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So... And I remember, like, it hit me the one time because I took her to the toy shop when she was still much younger. And I was like, you can literally grab anything you want, like whatever you want.
Because comedy was committing.
Comedy was committing. So I'm just like, because as a parent who didn't have much growing up, you like, the day I can, I want that moment.
They will know.
And Harusha, but it's your moment. It's not hers.
Yeah.
Because at that
moment, it's your flex.
It's your flex.
Yeah.
She doesn't care. She's just like... Because I remember she was like, she took a book and she took like a makeup kit. And she was like, oh, I can do your makeup. And, you know, we can. And I realized that's all she wants to do.
Sure.
It's just like have us do an activity together rather than, because, you know, if it was us, we would have ran for those remote control Jeeps.
And in a week it's broken.
And, exactly. So, look, man, I think with our relationship, man, like, I wouldn't, and that's, you know, that's the one thing. Imani, what most people don't know, Imani is responsible for my success.
Yes.
When I knew of her arrival, I have never worked as hard as I did. I took my craft a little bit more seriously. I took a chance to understand the comedy of business versus just the art form of comedy.
Mm-hmm.
That's when I shifted to the business of comedy.
Yes.
And honestly speaking, between the time of me finding out about Imani and her being born, I think that's when I made my first like big chunk of cash.
When my daughter turned 21, at her birthday dinner, I remember thanking her that I moved to Joburg when you're not even a year old. But remembering that you need food, you need diapers, you need this, I need to send you to a good school.
It sent your hustle into...
I was like, I cannot fail.
Yes.
I cannot fail.
Yes.
Because if I fail, I'm failing you.
Yes.
And I thanked her for that.
Yes.
That, yes, I was driven anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But now that there was a goal...
I worked. My hustle went into hyperdrive.
Yes.
Well, you see what you said?
Yeah.
Those exact words. I'm going to do that on Imani's 21st birthday.
Yes.
Actually, I'm going to take that.
You're welcome.
I'm going to take that from Malume Fresh, and I'm going to echo those words, because I literally have to thank her. Mm. She is
Your wake-up call.
She was my wake-up call. Mm. She, when I look at my success and where I am today, I go, if I go, which moment did it all change for me? You know, yeah, where they always ask you, so when did you...
Where did it click?
Where did it click?
Yeah.
It was when I knew...
How rude.
Yeah. I was like, yeah.
The Thor moment.
Oh man, I'm so grateful, sure, for what she did in my life, and I'm so grateful for where we are.
Love the second time around. How different is it?
Oh, love second time around is the best thing ever.
Because you've grown up also.
I've grown up also. Also, LaToya and I met each other when we were, I think she was 18, I was 20.
Jeez, you also did that.
No. She was out of school. She was out of school. I was 20 years old. We met.
She was in matric. I just finished matric. Yo.
Is it?
Yeah, dude, it was the worst time of my life.
Yeah.
Because she's going to class and she's got morning sickness. I'm like, fuck, what have I done?
So Nalatoy, we basically raised each other, yeah, you know. And we met... I think she was 18 turning 19, mm, and I was 20, 21.
Sure.
We met at a friend's brand the 16th of June, mm, and I was dodgy that day. I had bronchitis. I was just recovering from bronchitis. I was dodgy. I had no style. I had a beanie on. And because I had no pressure to impress, mm, I was just myself.
Sure. So you met her at your lowest.
I met her at my lowest.
But still, she saw the potential.
She saw the potential, and...
But I can clean this one up. Can move your boss to load up my shop. Nothing boss to
That's the worst tasting cook. Ogar oily.
But it works.
But it works. Hmm? Have you ever burped boss to?
Have you met a guy you like with his good bronchitis?
Borstol.
After he burps, he's up.
Oh, man. And you know, I shell at her for a year, Fresh.
Yeah.
I shell at her for a year.
It was that cough because it is a fool.
There's a fool.
So after the TB healed.
Yeah, so after the TB healed, we had an amazing relationship, and we were young, you know, and I was beginning my career and all of this stuff. And it was good the first time around. Then I went through my things.
Sure.
We had a beautiful child together. We bought our first place together. Things were going really great. And then I became such a destructive human being.
Yeah.
And I didn't want her around me because I could see the things I was doing. It wasn't fair to me. It wasn't fair to her.
Yeah.
It wasn't fair to our family. And we split up. And one thing I can be grateful for, love second time around, it's not, you know, we think love is infatuation. And love is not that, Fresh. Love is respect.
Yes.
Love is understanding each other. Mm. You know, it's a partnership. Love is a business.
Sure.
That's what most people don't understand. Love is a business. Mm. Mm. We are two partners. At any point, we can decide who's the CFO, who's the CEO, who's the MD, who's the what, and how do we make this thing work? You got to schedule things in love. So second time around, I remember even...
And it's weird you say that. Our diaries are full of everything that matters to us, but none of it is our relationships.
And that's what changed.
Yeah.
So second time around now, I have my family in my diary.
Yes.
I have daddy-daughter date. I have me and mommy time. We schedule. You must schedule everything.
I've been preaching that.
You must
schedule. Dude, if you know that you're getting so busy that you can't even shag anymore, schedule a shag.
And people think there's no love in that.
Yes.
So people think our relationship is boring now because we have to schedule a shag.
Oh, it won't happen.
Schedule the shag. And then to make it exciting, always, you know, do a prelude to the shag.
Exactly. 9 o'clock.
Or some who's Chiefs today? Who's Chiefs today? Who's Kaiser Chiefs today?
Babe, please wear your Kaiser Chiefs t-shirt later.
So Faga Yami Sundowns.
and I'm going to have you go,
you schedule those things, right? And you run your love like it's a business. And that's what we've done now. Yeah. And that's what I also, because at my lowest, LaToya was there for me.
Yeah.
Fresh, this woman has never actually left my life.
Yeah.
Because we had a, even when we were not together,
sure,
we were very intentional about how we continue raising money.
Mm-hmm.
So we've always had a good rapport.
So it would always be in an interest that you are thriving.
Exactly.
Because if you're not thriving, then Imani has a dad who's not thriving.
Exactly.
And we need to think of co-parenting like that.
Exactly.
That it's not in your child's interest that he becomes a bum. No matter how much he hurt you, it's not in your child's interest that he becomes a bum.
Exactly. You know, like that's why that thing that, I don't want to mention people's names, but...
Yeah.
The thing that happened to the famous presenter who's on his way back now.
Yeah.
When that lady exposed him with the video. Yeah. I was like, the kid, guys. Yeah, you're taking the kid out of private school. You're taking food out of the kid's mouth because this isolated event
What's
that happened.
What's in the best interest of the child?
Exactly. And now, if you're going to get in the way of me providing for my child, That's the one thing I pride myself in, is being able to provide and to protect my
family. Because you know you can provide.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So for me, Fresh, honestly speaking, second time around, love is so much better, because even when I healed, and that's when we started reconnecting, and I said to her, I was like, yo man, I'm gonna get better, and when I do, I'm gonna come for you.
Sure.
And she was like, hey,
you've been, the last time you came for me, we had a child. And then you're gone again.
And then I came for her, and we started, you know, and I think that part of starting it again, starting my life again, going home again, you know, a lot of people think it's a bad thing to go home. I didn't plan on going home again.
Yeah.
People think you failed when you go home. Me, at the height of doing all these things, when I did the roast, I was living at my mother's house.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I was back home. I started from scratch, and that's what I was able to do with her. And it's been so amazing. And I was like, I've wasted so much time. Let me do the right thing. Mm-hmm. And yeah, we got married in the beginning of the year. And
thanks for the invitation.
So here's how we did it.
No,
as well.
It doesn't matter.
I'm still having the big wedding.
Okay.
So we did a very small ceremony. We only had like 40 people there. And
so was that 41st or August?
So you know what we did? We invited the guests and we said we're doing an engagement party.
Okay.
And when the guests arrived,
there was a wedding.
We're like, surprise. We decided, well, we're here.
Yeah.
Our spiritual advisor and leader is here. Mm. We thought, heck, why not?
Yeah.
You guys are all here. Let's do the damn thing. And then, we got married in front of all our friends and the close friends and family. And
now, from life, like in the movies, we're going to go to the movies. The movie this week is Fast X, the new chapter of the Fast and the Furious saga. An advisory, and to clarify for people like our Xhosa, Xitsonga, and other Khoisan viewers, it is pronounced Fast X, just for your information. Fast X. If you live your life a quarter mile at a time, I think robot lights should be labeled ready, set, go, then this is the movie for you. So following the heist in Rio in Fast 5, the son of the drug lord who was executed shows up to seek revenge, like an old Chinese movie, against Dom and the team. But this isn't just another movie about driving fast and dodging cops. There's also elements of tech involving artificial intelligence. So some of the Fast fans might be jazzed to hear the name God's Eye. And just when you think they're gone and they're done, just like nitrous, they give you a little bit more. So when the credits roll, don't leave, because something happens right at the end. The only warning we'd give you about the movie is regarding Jason Momoa. Yes, he plays the bad guy, but in such a good, sexy way. Girl. To the heterosexual guys out there, watch yourselves as you watch him, because even I'd admit he's looking, Momoa.
Delicious.
Hey, man. Have you ever looked at a guy in a movie like Brad Pitt in Sparta? Was it Sparta? Was it?
Troy.
In Troy.
Yeah.
There's a part where Brad Pitt is taking the clothes off, and I'm sitting there. my wife looks at me, she's like, are you okay? I'm like, I'm fine.
Why was Vaseline more Brad Pitt?
Yes. Our rating is V3. out of X, or in English, instead of Roman numerals, 8 out of 10. Why? Because with all the elements, action, characters, on missions, and with agendas, it's a ride. So yeah, here is the trailer.
Ah, oh, I missed your live reads, man.
Let's
go. Ah, my goodie.
Dude, I just love high octane movies, like a lot of noise. I want to hear when there's an accident, I must feel like something dropped here.
Yes.
You know how someone is hit by a car, the left shoe falls off. I want to hear like the shoe fell here.
Or the sock comes out, but the shoe's still on.
Exactly. Yo.
I love how consistent they've been with this franchise, man. Yeah. And it's a dope franchise. And you know what I love? I love moments where you know it's unbelievable, but it happens anyway.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And I love the fact that they've made Tyrese the guy who goes, Marquise.
Yeah. Isn't it a little suspicious? He survived every adventure.
Dude, even Dom. I'm like, how many lives does Dom have? Like, Dom should be dead.
On the last one, Dom hooked his car to a thing on the mountain.
Yeah.
He flew off and came. I was like,
Hi. Laboratory Dom.
But were they? Watch it.
So check out at the bottom of, in fact, in the comment section, you should be able to book your tickets to go watch Fast X. It's incredible. You don't want to not watch it, especially on IMAX Knockout.
Yeah.
Enjoy the movie brought to you by Stir Kinecore. Did you say you missed my live reads?
Oh, man. You know what? While you were doing that live read, I was like, there's two elements about you, Fresh, right?
Yeah.
And this is what South Africa can attest to.
Yeah.
Your live reads. Because a lot of people, when they do live reads, you go, I now we are tingling.
Yeah.
The way you did that live read, yeah. I want to go watch the movie.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
So no feeler.
Negi feeler.
It was busy there.
V3, or as you say, Roman numerals.
Look at that flex.
I normally really would have been, yeah, says Figgy Lego, Fast and Furious V1111.
Yes,
oh, sorry, yes. I mean 8. Sorry.
Yeah.
No, but just like that, the way you finessed that.
Yeah.
And the laugh, my man. Oh, man.
My man, you got a ton of laughs out of me. In fact, you've got a ton of laughs out of me for the last easily 10 years solid, my dude. Like, you're solid like that. You're consistent like that.
Thank you.
And I think that's one thing, all the things that are happening in your life and around you right now are results of your consistency.
I appreciate
that. And a lot of people don't realize that the minute you take your foot off the gas,
see what I mean? The thread.
Just the minute you take your foot off the gas at the wrong point in your career or in your drag race, might be the difference between whether you're going to win the race or not,
exactly.
Whether you're going to get the gig or not.
Exactly.
And a lot of us don't realize that. That rari lexanyana, or the next gig, you don't give 100%.
Exactly.
Because you think, no, it's in the bag, it's a corporate, they love. No.
Or you base it on how you're feeling. You know,
yes.
I was having this conversation with, so my wife is an interior designer.
Sure.
And she's working on a concept now. She's like, I don't feel inspired. I don't. And I'm like, at the end of the day, you have to do the work.
Yeah.
There are times in our lives when we're not in the greatest shape. We're not meant, but you have to show up.
Yeah.
You have to do the gig.
And that's where discipline comes in.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
I preach this all the time. The law of incremental gains is never wrong. If you do the same thing all the time,
yes.
Every single day, something will happen.
And you know what taught me that, funny enough, is gym.
Yeah.
Then I understood why.
Like, I wonder
why Olim Khan.
Then you know when you're walking in there now, you're walking like, you know, your jeans are full of balls.
Because with gym, right, it's like, it doesn't matter how you're feeling,
yes,
you
sir.
Show up.
Yes.
You have good days. Sometimes you push beyond your strength. Other days you're like, I know I can bench 100,
yeah.
But I'm struggling on 60.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But the point is you show up.
And you do the 60.
And you do the 60.
Absolutely.
And over time you realize, it doesn't matter what state of mind or shape or whatever I'm in, I need to do this And over time, when I look back, I go, I might not be where I want to be, but I'm so glad I'm not where I used to be.
On my couch. My dude, your management are calling my management saying you're late for your next appointment. So we're going to need to let you go.
Don't listen. Also, his name is Mpo. He's a vendor. Don't listen to Mpo. We're here. Also, it's not our fault because we're recording in Newtown. So halfway through our recording, the power went out.
And then someone ran off with an amp.
And then someone stole a cable. And the windows are open here.
It's not copper. It's not
copper. That man stole an extension cord. That's what he stole.
And then he's going to go melt it thinking it's copper. And
come on, people's cell phones are being snatched while we're recording.
My man, you laugh. Something happened like that the other day. They grabbed someone's bag, which is a vapor. And then 100 people... And they came marching the guy back.
They found him again?
They came marching him back.
Yeah, that's the worst. Like, Vimba is... For people who don't know, Vimba means stop whatever you're doing.
Yeah.
Whoever's running, drip that person.
Yeah.
Take him down, and then we drop them.
Yeah.
And the problem with being Vimba'd is everyone gets a chance to beat you.
Exactly.
And now they're beating you for other issues they had.
Yes.
Now someone's beating you because, you know, Spitz keeps calling them. And I need to tell my phone. I'm going to my cover. Even grannies are coming out of niggas.
Dude, the military, yeah, Vimba.
Yeah.
Guys going for a jog, they stop. They just stand still.
Because if you're the guy running, you will be Vimba. So if you are a Caucasian and you hear the word Vimba, stop whatever you're doing.
Yeah.
Stop whatever you're doing. And just look out for whoever's running. Whoever's running is the guilty part. And they will be beaten by everybody. By the time you hand them back to the cops, they're like this.
Yeah.
Mob justice. Someone got Vimba'd here.
Popcorn and cheese, quickly.
Popcorn and cheese.
It's incredible.
Man.
It's incredible. Oh, you guys are so doing much, amazing work.
You know, we decided we wanted to do a podcast that appeals to everyone.
Yes.
We wanted to take away from the... from the formal structure hey, who are you? Where did life begin?
Sure.
We wanted to create a space where we can have a funny conversation.
Yeah, it's a chat.
It's a funny chat. It's PG.
Sure.
So we don't swear. We don't talk about sex because we want a podcast that you can watch with family around. Mm. So you can put it on and your kids are in the back and you don't have to worry about it.
Absolutely.
They might hear, hey, you were scomoring to Emmanuel.
Sure.
And yeah, man, and Mzee and I, or Robot Boy as he's affectionately known, we're two boys from the South, and we're like, let's create a space where we can hang out with people that aren't... Everyone is funny, not just comedians and people that are online funny people, but everyone, you're funny, you know? So when we have you on the show, we know we're going to laugh.
Sure.
You know what I mean? So we want people to see that side of all the people that they know that...
Sure.
We can sit, we can laugh. And the podcast has been doing well. It's something I've delayed that I wanted to do. I'm procrastinated for so long. I bit the bullet. And when it started, there was all the negativity. Yeah, this is what this. And now people are loving it. And I'm so glad I stuck it out. I stuck to it. And it's doing phenomenally well.
Yeah, like you will learn well from Emmanuel. If you stick it out,
you'll be sticky. If you stick it out, you'll be sticky.
You'll get where you need to go. Just stick it out.
So yeah, man, that's, you know what, my biggest achievements is honestly for the year going is popcorn and cheese and it coming to life and us being able to do sketches and all these things and play with it. And then the Masked Singer South Africa, know, I got announced as the host of the Masked Singer South Africa. I've never done anything. I've done dope things in my career.
Sure.
This is like a big...
Like God is starting to show off.
God is showing off. My ancestors.
But you will never be busy.
My man, I feel like when my I feel like when my grandmother got to heaven, she was just like, guys, kupaling ping 5 minutes. I just want to sort out my boy.
Like, hold my beer.
I want to sort out my son. And man, like, God is showing off. My ancestors are showing off.
Yeah.
I'm honestly in the best place I've ever been in my career, spiritually, mentally, physically.
June 10 is your birthday.
June 10 is my birthday. I'll be turning 36 years old.
Yeah. wishes for yourself for your birthday.
Yes, but you know, because I have so many friends,
yeah,
and so many people who support me, sure, you know, I don't call people that support me fans. Mm-hmm. I don't have fans because I speak to the people that support me.
Exactly.
You know? I don't have more. It's like
they're not throwing panties at you. So.
No. The honor rock, yes. But that, you know, like, so I started doing a birthday show around my birthday because it allows me to have my friends there, my family there, and the people that support me.
Yeah.
So,
and to make a buck in Yan.
Yeah, and to, you know, make a buck, you know, celebrate being alive. So
you're saying June 10 is the next time we see you on stage?
June 10 will be the next time you see me on stage at Poor Bop's birthday comedy special, which will be at Empress Palace.
Are you shooting it?
I am, yes.
So we'll be able to watch it and stream it after that?
No.
Or sell it in a DVD at the robot? How is it working?
Your old age, fresh. Yeah? The DVD.
Are they still, even memory stick there, pop-ups?
No, so I record it because I record everything.
Yeah.
And that should be a lesson to everyone who does anything.
Sure.
Record everything that you do because you don't know what you can strike a deal with later.
But deals aside, my advice to Black Africans, we don't document even just the basics of our lives enough.
Exactly.
Document everything.
I learned that from David Gow. Document everything that you do. That's why we're able to watch a thing about Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
And you're like, where did they get this footage?
Exactly.
He's been documenting since he was 19 or 18.
Absolutely.
Or even younger.
Don't just wait until it's your birthday for them to take out the Polaroid or King, same time.
Yeah.
And take one picture and you think you've... No, document everything.
Everything,
guys.
Everything.
That is your history. That is your legacy.
So I do that. I record all my shows and I have them as well. Yeah.
So we'll see you on the podcast. Otherwise, we'll see you on The Masked Singer. Otherwise, we'll see you on June 10th at the Empress Palace.
Yes. I will see you at Empress Palace on the 10th. And I will see you on Popcorn and Cheese when we host you.
And when the wedding, wedding happens, I'll be number 41. So I'll make it into the room.
Ah, now you're not a guest or staff.
Hey, banna. What is
it? Hey, my man. All right.
Ladies and gentlemen, always popping. Pop Pops is about to leave the building.
What a week, what a wow. What a DJ Fresh rocking his shirt, your pillowcase, your Dali Tambo. Thank you so much for having me on the show. Yo, man, it's so good to be here again with
in
you.
In the same space.
It doesn't have to be radio or anything. Just the fact that we can sit and your voice, man, and how you do what you do, Fresh, you've inspired all of us.
Sure.
The fact that I'm doing what I'm doing is because it comes from you. And I wanna give you your flowers while you're still here. Thank you so much for everything you've done for us, man. You're an absolute legend of a legend. Don't show us where your hairline used to be.
No, this is my... I'm doing a Dali.
Oh,
not a Dali.
It is Dali Top. That one braid.
And that's it for today. We say goodbye to our poop hole of the South and Poor Pops. Your cushion will be in the mail.
And I'm going to bring you, hey, this melted 4x4 of yours. First.
What? Guys, and Poor Pops is leaving because his management is shouting at my management. Please get out, my dude.
Oh, wow. And you can see in Limo New Town, someone broke the windscreen.
I saw about the back love. The trailer, but trailer played.
Yo, man. Thank you so much for having me. Love you long time, Malme Fresh. Away. What a week. What a wow. Lishibile Leona Lenora Latenge Barke DJ Fresh, aka Tato, aka the Big Dog, aka.
My man.
This is. Wow!
What a week.
What a week.
This week at the movies, in a nation of many who've had to endure load shedding and that dreaded notice of low battery, comes a visionary. If you fear the appearance of one bar of battery life indicator, here's a man and company who battle to banish that fear. Please give a warm welcome to Keegan Pfeffer of A Doozy Power.
Thanks for having me, Fresh.
How's it, Keegan?
All good.
Only those that deserve it get a movie intro like you just got.
Love the introductory.
So you're welcome.
Thanks.
Keegan 101, who are you? Where are you from?
Keegan 101, from Durban originally.
Okay.
Windsor, Treasure Beach, grew up there.
Okay, so colored guy.
Colored guy, yeah.
With an Indian name from Durban and a Jewish surname.
I don't know about the Jewish surname.
Perfa sounds like a Jewish surname.
I guess, let's hope we can ride that Jewish.
Yeah, so with an Indian name and a Jewish surname, you're going to make money, brother.
Yeah, first name's actually Richard.
Ah, Rich.
Some of my friends call me Richie.
Ah, so you're ready to make money, brother.
Yeah, let's hope so.
Okay, so born and raised Wentworth, Durban.
Yeah.
And then how did you end up in the tech space?
Straight out of school, did a BSc through UNISA.
Okay.
Worked simultaneously for like 6 years while getting this done. Eventually graduated and then, started working in the tech space.
So what were you doing in the tech space?
Okay, I started working at a small company called Microvision.
Okay.
And then we did biometric solutions and school solutions in the Durban area.
Sure.
Yeah. Notably, the Island View Storage worked there for many years. And I think it became Bidvest Tank Terminals at some stage.
Okay.
And learned a lot there and then said, let's go for it.
In fact, let's talk about why you're here. What on earth is a doozy?
A doozy. A doozy is a power bank rental network.
Okay.
Okay.
Slowly, power bank.
Power bank.
Rental. Network.
Network. Okay.
How does that work?
Okay. Like I say, you can rent a power bank right from a station. So we got these kiosks.
Okay.
We call them power towers, right?
Okay.
These power towers, they have many power banks in them, right? And then we strategically situated them like throughout Johannesburg, for instance. So you could go to Rosebank, you could pick up a power bank, catch an Uber down to Sandton and drop one off.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, so it's like my battery's low, I need it. And now that battery's low, I do not need this anymore. So why should I carry it? So you return it.
What said to you, people need this service?
I'm not going to say it's shitty.
No, because people are buying power banks. Why should I rent one?
Why should you rent a power bank?
Yes.
Convenience. So here's the thing, when you buy a power bank, all the maintenance is on you.
Okay.
So you own this thing, means you must take it home.
It's your baby. You must feed it, wipe its poo.
Yes, you must charge it. When you go to an Eduzi power tower, you're picking up a full battery.
No poo, no feeding.
No poo. I'm done with it. I've used it. You put it back. We charge it for you.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So take us through step by step. How do I sign up for a doozy? And then what? I go to a black, like, just talk us through
it. There's an app, obviously. Okay, so you download an app and you register much like any other service.
Okay.
But we're not like any other service. So you register, you link your bank card to it, right?
Okay.
And we got some cool aspects on it. So for instance, we've got a biometric option on our tower. So you go through, you register your biometrics on the tower, okay? When you go and you want to rent a power bank, you wave your palm, it picks up, that's Fresh.
Is that okay?
And
we know him, we trust him.
We know him, we trust him,
yeah.
Give him a power bank. You take the power bank, you go with it. So let's say you pick it up at OR Tambo.
Yeah.
Because your battery's about to die. You left your cable at home because you were rushing this morning.
Okay, so the power banks come with multiple cable
power
options.
Comes back with all the cables, so you don't need a cable.
Okay.
Got the cables, you're on the plane, you land in Cape Town, you're done, you're fully charged, dropped it off, you keep moving.
Jeez, that is so dope.
Yeah.
So how do I know that my card details are safe?
So we use a third party, which is PCI approved. So everything is locked down, trust me.
Okay, so download the app.
Yeah.
I do my biometrics on the app
at the tower. Once off, you just register your biometrics so that the next time you come, when your battery is dead, you wave. Because how do you scan a QR code when your phone is off?
Sure.
So
how do you deal with the fact that some people are careless? I mean, it's not my power bank, so why should I look after it?
You'd be surprised, eh? South Africans, actually, if you valued the service, you'd stand correct.
You understand.
I
must rewind this video cassette because I want to get a rewound one myself.
100%. So you'll see a big consumer of our is the delivery guys, right?
Yeah.
If their battery's dead, they cannot work.
Oh, right? Yes.
So instead of them carrying 5 power banks, which they need to charge all the time, they go, they pick one up, they use it. If you do not return it, you cannot get another one.
Sure.
So there's a need. So the moment there's a need, there's a responsibility that comes hand in hand with it. Mm. So you actually see the responsibility of South Africans picking up because they need the service.
Sure.
You will get one or two, obviously.
Yeah.
But we have measures in place to deal with that.
So where are your power towers, if I want to be a part of a doozy? Where am I able to pick up a power bank?
So what's great is you download the app, right? And in our app, we have a locate power bank or power tower feature, right?
Okay.
You click on there, and then you'll see these little... what do you call them? Locations that would pop up.
Okay.
You click on the location, it'll direct you to our power towers. So for instance, like I said, Sandton City, Rosebank, Chameli's a popular one, Altabar. So for now, a lot of the what we call hotspots or areas in Johannesburg.
And then how many cities are you in?
Currently, we are currently in Gauteng, looking to expand to Durban, Cape Town, actually national in the next couple of months.
Okay.
Yeah.
Challenges setting up something like this?
Plenty challenges.
Yeah.
You would think, and I get this a lot, load shedding must be just making this a breeze.
Yeah.
Actually not, eh?
Sure.
So you can't offer a service that helps load shedding, but your tower's down. So, for instance...
Yeah, your tower should have infinite power.
infinite. Okay, so number of challenges. We got to stay up when load shedding gets the whole country down, which means we've got to implement processes keeping the towers up.
So do you have like backup batteries in the tower?
Yeah.
Okay.
So we got UPSs that keep these towers up. So now you got the power up 100%. Then you got challenges like these towers need to communicate.
Yes.
Yeah, because it all works on the internet. But the tower that gives you the communication is down because of load shedding.
Yes.
Those are the challenges that we got to think. So we've got to get, we've put in place stuff that makes it roam to make sure that it picks up towers that are online in order for us to be able to facilitate it. Because there's nothing worse than my battery's dead. I don't care about all these other things.
I just need another battery.
I need another battery. Yeah. How you get your connectivity, how you keep your tower on, that's a doozy.
Don't make
your problem mine, especially if you're offering a service of this nature.
I thought you'd say finance is one of your challenges.
Yeah, finance is always one. It's always a... definitely, I mean... I'm not sure what you want me to say.
No, it wasn't raising finance to, you know, for a startup. Like, was it simple for you?
No.
Did you have savings? Did you go to grandma and say, grandma, we need to sell this kilt now?
Yeah, so I think what's it is, they always speak about the three F's, what's it, friends, fools, and family.
Yes.
So you'd always start there when you, as a startup.
I thought you meant fuck.
I need money. Not that I found any fools. finance is always an issue as a startup, but there's many means and ways that you get around that.
Mm-hmm.
If you're persistent.
Sure.
And you know that this thing's going to work, you'll get around it.
It's a great concept. It's a great business.
Yep.
But is it your business or can I franchise?
We don't have a franchising option at this moment in time. But what we do have is a partnership program.
Okay.
So for instance, if you're an establishment and you put one of our towers there, we can do a model where depending on the rentals, we'd give you a percentage of the revenue.
Yeah. Okay. No, that's a dope idea.
Yeah.
And how's the reception been? I mean, are people signing up for Doozy?
Yeah, like I said, you'll see the delivery guys use it quite often.
Yeah.
And then general public are kind of getting onto it. So again, challenges, education in South Africa. So how do we educate people to understand that I can pick this thing up, go with it, and bring it back? I think in the car rental industry,
Is there a penalty for a late return?
Yes, there is.
Okay.
So we have many packages. So it's at the discretion of the consumer of what you want to do. So you can buy a package where we call it a quickly.
Okay.
Means you pay $50 and you can use a power bank for 3 hours. Right?
Okay.
You can buy bigger packages where you get more what we call pops, which are rentals. So you could do like 60 pops. And you pay $200 or something like that. But you're paying less for getting more kind of a thing because you're all in now.
So typically, if I need it for 24 hours, how much am I paying?
If we do, it's almost R3, I think, a rental if you're paying R200 for that 60 pops. If you say 200 divided by 60, you're paying nothing.
You're paying nothing.
You're paying nothing for convenience.
But surely your overheads must be incredible. Why is it cost that little? Because you're paying for the power.
Yeah. We got some smart guys figuring out the maths.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay, so it makes business sense still.
It has to make business sense or else
what's the point?
Be alive. Yeah, what's exactly. The point?
How do people get a hold of Aduzi?
Instagram.
Yeah.
Our website.
How do you spell Aduzi?
Aduzi, A-D-O-O-Z-Y.
Okay.
Yeah. So you go to our website, www.aduzi.co.za.
Mm.
I think our Instagram handle is Aduzi Lifestyle.
Sure.
Yeah, and Twitter.
Any word to youngsters trying to go off on their own like you've done?
Yeah.
What are some of your big learnings on this journey?
It's not going to be easy.
Yeah.
Keep your head down.
Yeah.
Keep pushing. Be persistent.
Sure.
Don't give up.
Mm.
It's going to get really, really, really hard. If you're not sleeping, you're on the right track.
But whatever you do, make sure your hair is nice.
Thanks for the compliment. I try.
Keegan, you're an inspiration, my dude.
Yeah.
There's nothing I love more than young people who realize that there's a solution needed here.
Yeah.
And those are the guys that actually make the most money. People who are willing to identify the gap and say, how can I service this gap?
Yeah.
And that's what we need, guys. We need solutions. We need African solutions for African problems. We need more of you guys out there saying, what is the problem here? And how can I provide a solution? That's how you make money. Ladies and gentlemen, Keegan from Aduzi.
Thank you so much, Frish.
This is...
Wow! What a week.
What a week. Celebrity guest.
Celebrity guest.
You know, anyone who studied something like cinematography, then decided, you know what, I think I want to sing. You don't? Well, we do. And that person is here with us right now. Please give a warm welcome to a singer who can also film herself skillfully. Male is in the building.
Thank you.
Dumela Malefo. How are you doing?
I'm very well. Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
You know what's amazing is I'm such a fan of your work, but when I come to meet you, because I'm ready to bow down to you, you're excited about meeting me. I'm like, slow down. I'm the fan here.
Absolutely. I mean, I think we've just been watching you your whole career coming up.
I've been watching you since like the mid-2000s. This
yes, it's been that long. I actually celebrate 20 years this year in the industry. So that's always exciting to mention.
Yeah, you were singing with Kaya from about 2003.
Sure. So I started in high school and they were the first group that I was a part of back in the days of Bashimane Batrilungwana na Alimung.
Oh, yeah. So high school way.
High school in Bloemfontein, St. Michael's.
Okay, but umusutu wa Lesotho.
So kihlayetse Lesotho.
Okay.
And my mom has been working in the Free State, you know, my whole life. So yes, we pretty much also grew up in Lady Brand, Bloemfontein.
Ah, yeah. So Lady Brand. Okay, so take us back to growing up in Lady Brand. Isn't DJ Finzo from Lady Brand?
Is Finzo from Lady Brand?
Is he from Lady Brand or Makwat?
I
think Prince KB is also from there somewhere.
Prince KB is from the Free State as well, yeah.
No, but I'm thinking
specifically Lady Brand,
that area.
I don't know them to be my neighbors in Lady Brand, though.
There must be something in the water that so much talent is coming from there. So take us back to your childhood.
So growing up in Lady Brand, I think for me, I've always known that music is my first love.
Yes, yes.
And it was always my mission to move to Bloemfontein, which is obviously the biggest city in the Free State.
Hey, what hope?
Hey. Yeah. So I nagged my parents and begged them until they booked me in the boarding school in St. Michael's.
Okay.
And that's really where my career started because I got to meet some professionals in the industry,
sure.
Did my first demo in Bloemfontein, and that's how I met Kaya.
So before you are shipped off to boarding school,
yeah.
Just a typical childhood of yours, what does that take us through that?
You know, one of the things that I think I was just very grateful for growing up in a place like Lady Brand, Maseru as well, is this just that sense of community, I think. You know, we would ride our bikes to school. It was that safe. It was that easy to do. And I think, you know, personally coming from the Christian home that I come from, I had a good life, I think. We didn't have too much, but I feel like home... has just allowed me to be the person that I am today. Very humble kind of background. Yeah.
So meals that remind you of childhood, smells that remind you of childhood. Tell us about
you know, I still go home today and I insist my mom ampele papa kamoro le mincemeat. That's my meal.
Yeah.
I think, you know, one of the nice things about growing up in a small town is really just that, you know, ability to just, you know, be playful and yes. and you know,
and it's fun, it's innocent.
It was fun and it was innocent, you know, and I think I'm always grateful that that's the place that I come from. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, so your grounding, your thankful comes from that
humble beginning.
Rural beginning, as it were.
Yeah.
And then you arrive in Bloem, your high schooling, your voice is getting out there.
Yeah.
And then Kaya happened.
Yeah.
And you guys even win a Best Newcomer at the Metros, I think.
Yeah.
2005.
Right.
No, don't tell me. I'll tell you about your career. Thank you very much. So how does Kaya happen?
I happened, like I said, I was recording my demo in a studio owned by Bobby Johnson, who also happened to be recording the group, and they were looking for a female vocalist.
Mm.
And I just happened to be so blessed to meet them. I always say they really taught me everything that I feel like I know about a South African audience in terms of, you know, songwriting, engaging with an audience, and also just my interest in different languages.
That's, sure.
You know, just Venek in general, writing and expressing myself as best as I could at that time. They were the ones who taught me how to sing isiZulu. Mm-hmm. And they would, you know, give me good tips on how to really be authentic with our different languages.
Does singing in isiZulu help you speak better in isiZulu, or is it just once I'm done singing, I'm done?
No, I've always
Bamswarelo after that.
You know, for instance, in this my recent album, this is my first Suzulu song that I've written, Ibizwa Sokalam.
Okay,
and I've always challenged myself to try and learn how to
beyond
really
the singing.
Articulate.
Yes.
So beyond the singing, it's important to me that I grow my knowledge.
Mm.
You know, ngiyasikhuluma isiZulu kodwa kuyayenzeka ukuthi sometimes invele ngilahleka or you know, just get it wrong altogether.
Sure.
And I prefer that we learn each other's languages and really get to that place
and not
we can
laugh
appreciate.
At each other when we break it.
Yes.
Because it's in the breaking.
I've broken
that
a couple of times, even in the songs.
And that's okay. And that's okay.
Yes. I think it's the effort and the thought behind caring enough.
Because often our fear of learning other people's languages is fearing being ridiculed.
Right.
When you're actually making your best effort.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, when white folk break isiZulu, Sesotho, Setswana, Ratshe, but in a nice way.
In a nice way, right.
But where, now when you break English, it's over. It's over. It's like you must retire.
I remember with Ozongilinda, you know.
With Cunis.
Yeah, with Cunis. Oh, there's a place where we got it completely wrong. But I find that people have been very...
For those that don't remember Ozongilinda, please just give us a note, Yana.
Ozongilinda mangihamba asoka soka lami. And then I go, singi kipezi. And I don't think that's right at all. But people completely forgave me. Singi kipela isintaba angazi uzobuya nini.
Yo.
Yeah.
Can you see the tears in my eyes? Your voice though. Jeez.
Yeah, so that was one of my first lessons on you can get it wrong, but you know, it's okay. We'll correct
you
along the way.
You're moving.
Yeah.
Okay, so Kaya happened. How old are you when Kaya happens?
I was 18. I was in matric, so I was the kid who was bunking school to go to gigs. My aunt was amazing. I love her so much. My man Lebo would come through and sign me out and give me excuses
so
about how
familial
family.
Familial support.
Yeah, you know, and I think the school was also quite supportive. My principal knew that I was part of this professional group, and you know, so it was great for me to have known from an early age that this is what I was going to be pursuing. Yes. Got me out of a lot of trouble.
And the rents were supporting it from the get-go, right?
They were. I think my dad, you know, my dad used to be a musician himself, played the guitar.
Yes.
And at some point, you know.
So it's in the blood. This
it's thing. In the blood. He used to play Lintate Tabotsola the late.
Oh, wow.
And so I think for him, he was a little bit more concerned for me, you know,
your
what
safety,
industry is.
Your well-being.
My well-being, yes. Just security in general.
Sure, sure.
But I think they've always known that this is what I was going to do, whether they liked it or not. Mm. And they've just been behind me 100%.
So you guys go and win Best Newcomer at the Metros in 2005.
Yeah.
Does that make a difference in your life and your livelihood? Or was it just another award?
No, it was huge.
Yeah.
It was huge for the group. I even had to, because I was in varsity at the time.
Yeah, you went after.
First year.
Yes.
Yeah, so my second year I took off specifically to focus on promoting the album because gigs were coming in left, right and center.
Yeah.
And I think it was really a moment of pride as well for people from the Free State that this is their group and we've just represented them so well. So things changed drastically and I think it was good to also be earning good money at a young age.
Absolutely.
That was nice.
First paycheck, what did you buy? Or the first substantial, here's your portion.
You know, with the first one, Tamo, we say hi.
Oh, yes. Okay, so you're grounded like that.
Yeah, so, you know, I think it was always...
doing that. You know, well, I remember my first paycheck at Y. I was like, so I'm supposed to send this to my mother.
it was such a sense of pride for me, you know, as well, to be able to help my parents out every now and again.
And say thanks for the support.
Yes, you know, so, and then other than that, I guess my first, after that, would have just been like a proper shopping spree.
Yes,
all on me, you know. But I think I started having responsibilities, you know, quite young in my adulthood. Mm. Yeah, I think I was always the responsible child.
Yes. Now, a lot of talented kids will, for instance, think because I'm so talented, I'm set.
Yeah.
You still went to AFTA.
Yeah.
To put paper behind the talent.
Sure.
Why was it important for you to do that?
So to be fair, I really didn't know what I wanted to study. That's the truth.
Yeah.
But thinking about it, the reasoning behind going to AFTA was to get a better sense of the music industry on the film side. I mean, just... Mm-hmm. My thing was I was going to become a music video director, perhaps, and have another skill outside of the singing that I could use and would be an advantage to me as an artist in the future.
Mm.
And it was great. And I think it's just went so well because I'm naturally a storyteller going into a film space and just having that opportunity to expand that knowledge was great. And I've been able to use it in the few music videos that I have.
You're qualified as a cinematographer.
As a cinematographer, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay,
so a degree in cinematography.
So how tempting is it when you're shooting a video for you to say no?
No. I'm director from the beginning.
Also, you're there. This is my party. I can cry if I want to.
It's been so empowering as well to know that.
And to speak from a place of, I studied this.
Yeah.
So kasi nchayeli next.
Yeah, ukasi
papalika.
Yeah, you know, and I think I also take my time even with music videos based on that because you don't. I mean, the few I have, it's been important to me that they're of good quality. So,
harsh lessons you learned from an early stage in your career.
It's not been easy being a female in the industry because of the, you know, typical stories you hear.
So how real are those?
They're very real.
That you gotta give it up if you want this. You gotta give it up if you want.
They're very
that.
Real. I think.
So without, how do you deal with that?
Without ousting anybody or giving up any names.
No, you can if you want. Or just describe
some respectable people in the industry who, you know, being young, you approach with the thinking that they may have. You know, the platform to give you opportunities or to help you grow.
Or a strategic collaboration.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
And then you have somebody, at kind of make an advance that is not appropriate at all. And it can be very embarrassing and you just don't know how to handle it. For me, I think, like I say, the upbringing is what allowed me to know that this is not the way that I would want to achieve and succeed in the industry.
I
want to
work for every single cent.
Every single thing that I've been able to achieve in this industry has been because of hard work. And so, it's been disappointing. I've had two instances where that happened to me.
How did you deal with it at the time? How did that affect moving on?
No. I very humbly, gently, thank you, but no thank you. Thank you for the opportunity and your time, but if this is the way you
want to work,
you intend for us to
shame
go.
Shame on you.
Shame
you're
on you.
You're probably watching this. Shame on you. You must give it up if you, geez.
Yeah, it's very sad. And a lot of women still, you know, face that kind of situation. But I think that for me has been one of the difficult challenges, I think, just in general.
Now, you're in an industry where you're having to deal with that, or you're having to wonder, can I trust this person I'm working with?
Yeah.
But you're also a human being with needs. How do you choose who to relationship with and when to relationship? Because I'm seeing a nice rock on your hand.
Fortunately, this rock has nothing to do with this industry, okay, thank goodness.
Okay, but the rock is legit, though.
Yes, it's legit.
Okay, I said stop nonsense.
Okay,
because some of you guys can stop nonsense, so just so people leave
for
you alone.
I've been really blessed generally to have been able to meet up with decent people. For instance, Kunis was one of the first guys that I met who really put me on in terms of just that kind of platform that would allow people to recognize Maneshoka as a vocalist. And he was a very high Kunis, whatever.
He's a dude.
He's a decent, good guy, you know. And I think that just subsequently I was blessed enough to meet Kent was a decent guy.
But then again, very talented. Kent being the very soft-spoken, quiet guy. Even if Kent liked you, he'd never tell you.
Yeah. Well, thank goodness it never went there at all. And his influence as a DJ and then having me on Falling.
But surely Falling changed something.
For sure. It's the biggest.
Black Coffee jumping onto Falling.
Right.
Just took it to another.
Can I tell you, I was in London last year for a mini tour in June, and I cannot perform anything or anywhere without making sure that that's part of the set list today, till this day. And it's really beautiful to have a couple of tracks that are classics under my repertoire, and Falling is certainly one of them.
And you haven't really arrived as an artist until you have that one song, you know, if I don't perform this, there'll be a riot. Until you have that song in your repertoire.
No, and you have to do it. We're not talking about that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You're Falling, guys.
Yeah.
You know, to this day, you play Falling, every woman in the room, top of their voice.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what has she done? When did you realize that Falling has become the anthem that it did become at the time?
I was in a taxi one day,
making
my way home.
Yes.
And, there the song is blasting in some guy's car. And a couple of times in that season, just like a few days apart, it was like, Falling, everywhere, And then I knew that, oh, wow, something has happened. And, I don't know. I think it was all really surreal, and I was still very young and had just left the group Kaya, just hadn't even started my solo career at all. And then the pressure that I felt after that particular song, when I was now working on my album, and people's expectations that I would go into house music. So following up a song like that, was something of a challenge.
It's a blessing and a curse of sorts.
At the same time. So I never thought I'd survive it the force that it was. But, it's been
leaving
good.
Kaya.
Yeah.
Why?
I had to get back to school. I had to complete my
degree.
You took
a year off.
I took a year off.
But you went back.
Yeah,
of us never go back. We never go back.
I took a year off, and I owed it to my parents to complete the degree.
Yes.
And it was just not possible to do both anymore. And so they really also needed to continue and couldn't. It was just juggling the two was not working out for either one of us. One of the hardest decisions of my life. But it was
How did the conversation go? How do you dump a group because I'm going back to school?
Guys. The group meeting, the tears, the questions that came,
What were some of the questions?
Why would you do this at this point? And I think that was particularly from fans and people who'd been supportive.
We've
seen how far we'd come, and it was not the ideal time to quit. So. It was heart-wrenching, I don't want to lie.
But you've been earning money since you were, 17, 18?
I've been on?
Earning money since you were, 17, 18.
Yeah.
What's your relationship with money? Do you have a love-hate relationship? Do you have a good relationship with money?
In the industry that we're in, fresh, it's up and down, hey?
Yes.
To be fair and honest. you know, when you're gigging, it's seasonal, yes. You know, so.
But do you save when you're gigging?
Yes.
Or do you spend because it's here? And
No. I think I've, because it's been 20 years, I now understand that there are seasons in the year when, you know, it's back to back kind of working. And then that seasons that it's very quiet and it's very dry. Mm. So I've really been conscious of making responsible decisions.
Sure.
I have children now. I'm a family woman now. So,
in fact, that was my next question. Yeah. How does getting married or getting into a committed relationship and having kids, how does it change how you relate to your own money and money from the collective?
I definitely don't put myself first at all in terms of. I mean, I guess some of the first investments will be Malay, the artist, because that's where, you know, I make my money from. But everything else, it's the kids first. When winter hits, you think of the children first, you think of the household first, and managing that is important. Hubby is great because then I think he allows me to make a lot of my own decisions financially, which is great. And he's doing his own thing as well. And so, yeah, it does change a lot, having a family, even just how I... Even just my career and the choices that I'm making. And it was hard, for instance, being away for a month from my kids, traveling abroad. I would have rather had a lot more traveling happen at a later stage.
Absolutely.
Or at an earlier stage, rather, yeah.
Any guilty pleasures, though? Like maybe things you buy and eat before you get home? Or things you buy and hide in the back of the wardrobe?
I love shoes.
Yeah.
I love shoes. And shoes are expensive.
Have you ever bought shoes but you never declared them?
No, I don't declare.
Oh, okay.
I don't even declare that I'm going to. It's like, hey, listen, I've got to run a quick errand. I'll be right back. And then people discover shoes weeks after. What a hype. When did you get these?
You're looking nice. When did you get these? It's like these old shoes. Can you look them up?
So I love collecting shoes. That's for me my guilty pleasure. Yeah. Yeah.
We're going to play a little game. It's called Malay the Musical. Mm-hmm. So these are songs that if Malay was a musical, the steering, which we assume you'd play yourself in the musical, would be singing these songs.
Okay.
For example, Malay the Musical, your childhood.
Yes.
Which song takes you back to your childhood? And yes, we expect you to sing it for us.
My dad was a huge fan of Sangomota, and that's really what played in the house a lot. And specifically, hey, when Africa, hale udutse haye, tsamaya loi batlela sabu pilo tsuha huiketse. and that's a cover that I do all the time just because it means so much to me.
Your papa's relationship and the entire ilk.
Yeah.
Did you understand at the time?
No.
That this is the caliber.
This is how great.
This is the caliber.
No. Not at all. I think, but Sangomata just represented Basotho internationally, I think just from a young age there was a knowing inside of me that this was great. Like the music. Showed me just how beautiful our language is, first of all. And I was like, wow, Sesotho sounds like this. That's what, you know, I remember
Sesotho.
Being a thought in my head as a very young kid. So I just definitely had no idea how huge.
Malay the Musical, you're in high school, you think you're in love. What song was that?
I loved Amel LaRue. I think I called a boy once to sing him Amel LaRue.
You're late.
Kimusela voice.
What's his name?
I can't. Okay. I'm actually going for my 20-year reunion at school, so I shall not divulge.
So which Amel LaRue did you sing to this boy?
Baby, I want you to listen. I stayed up all night so I could get this thing right. And I don't think there's anything missing. Why are you calling deep So that's why I will not mention the boy's name.
And that's not the guy you married.
I know. Sorry, babe. My bad. Yeah.
Malay the Musical. Mm-hmm. Now you know you're in love. Maybe it's the song that reminds you of Hubby even. What's that song?
I'd like to sing one of mine because it is for hubby, and okay. I did write it for him.
Okay.
And I might as well just on this
platform. Might as well. Just do it, girl.
Ongiphethe kahle kusukela usuku lokuqala sesikhulile ingane ayi wangiphatha kahle ngisho uqala nokungibona tulumamele wesukela msukela. Oyibona isukela ba bimele ngimbhalele ingoma.
Guys, if she doesn't sing to you like that, you're not the one. Malay the musical, the mm-hmm. song from your repertoire that you feel changed the rest of your life.
I'm gonna sing the one from my recent album.
Okay.
Because it's about to change the rest of my life. And I feel it.
Okay.
Is
this the brand new single?
Yes.
Okay.
It's a single from, it's the main single that's been received highly.
Yes.
From the recent album, Lerato Laka.
Okay.
Ang pupa muti, ang pawahay moya, oh hananena. Ang tumal fatsing lena, kamorero le sepeo e. Kaboa am pa batswa di balerato ke motlotlo ka bona pampon satsela pantataisa bang supisa ere ke tlele mo.
Guys, Malay is in the building. I don't want her to leave. Malay the musical.
Yeah.
The song that took you through a period of loss or heartache.
Yeah.
What was that song? So we're near the end of the musical now.
Yeah.
Where we think our steering is like it's over.
Yeah.
What was that song at that moment?
I absolutely love, and it always, and it still does carry me through.
Mm-hmm.
India Ari. I think it's titled Beautiful.
Okay.
And it says, the time is now. I'm gonna pack my bags and take that journey down the road. Because over the mountains, I see the bright sun shining, and I want to live inside the glow. I wanna go to a place where I am nothing and everything, I think. Before I ruin the lyrics, yeah. But that, for me, is one of those that, yeah, that picks me up when I'm feeling down.
Does music become your go-to place when you are feeling, I don't know, not centered? And is it listening to music or singing music that does that for
I think
you?
It's I always run to my pen and paper. It's the writing for me. And so anytime I'm going through anything, good or bad.
Sure.
That's where I go to. And it's, you know, it's interesting now doing motherhood at the same time. I have moments where mostly a lot of my creativity comes when I'm washing dishes, as mundane as that is. But that's when I'm able to really kind of
isn't dish washing just the best therapy, though?
It is. This is for me where, you know, I do a lot of writing. And then I have a two-year-old son who goes, Mommy, shh, shh. And I think, boy, do you understand who your mommy is? She speaks for a living. Don't tell me to shut.
And you're getting it for free.
And that, you know what I mean?
You're ungrateful little thing. You know, you know, we've had a dishwasher for the last 14 years.
Okay.
We've never once used it.
I'm telling
not
you,
once,
right? Yeah. I know a lot of people who do and seldom use.
I will say to my daughter, don't worry, I will do the dishes for you. And I'll stand there and do the dishes.
Yeah.
And when you're done, you're like, that just feels
that was,
so good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Finally, it's like the rolling credits at the end of Malay, the musical.
Okay.
And it's, you're the steering.
Yeah.
And things have turned out well.
Okay.
Like, this is your victory song. You're like Rocky Balboa running up those stairs there in Chicago. What is that song?
Oh, Victory belongs to Jesus. Victory belongs to him. Oh, oh, victory belongs to Jesus. Victory belongs to him.
Why don't you go into gospel?
This is where we're heading. This is where we're heading.
And you're lying.
I'm so serious. And this is just where I am spiritually right now in my life. I've done a lot.
So you're going. So you're leaving us.
Bye-bye. This was literally me celebrating 20 years in the industry this year. Some highlights have, you know, for the year have been performing at the Bushfire Festival, which I'm going to very soon.
Yes.
And just, I'm at a place in my life where I just want to thank God for the grace to have been able to travel this for this long.
So as you leave as secular people.
Yes.
May I do a gospel track with you?
It's, so that we ease can into... it be fully noted? Cameras, can we just zoom in on that?
Gospel collaboration, DJ Fresh and Malay.
Oh, I love it. Oh, it sounds so good.
May I send you the beat this week or next week?
No, it's done. Before the end of this month.
Okay. We're going to release it in exactly 4 weeks. In exactly 4 weeks from this Friday.
Let it be noted.
Our song is dropping.
It's coming out.
So
I love
please
it.
Be on the lookout for that. You're going to Bushfire in Swaziland.
Yes.
What do festivals like that mean for, to you and your career?
You know, like I say, 20 years, I've always wanted to perform at Bushfire because it is just one of those multicultural and just, you know, like a melting pot and everything and everyone that is relevant and beautiful musically and artistically.
And it brings Southern Africa together.
It brings Southern Africa together. And I think... for me this year, it's just one of the highlights for me this year. I'm going to be performing songs from the Kitlofihla album. Kitlofihla album, Lerato Laka album. And yeah, I think it's just going to be so much fun. I don't know. Bushfire is just like that festival that everybody wants to attend.
Absolutely.
A beautiful lineup. They've got the best of the best. Shroma Josie, I know, is on this year as well. Right down to Jack Parrow. So just in terms of like diversity, it's just so much fun. Yeah.
Malay, you are so much fun.
Thank you.
You've had an incredible career.
Yes.
I think you've taken a lot of people through different milestones in their lives with all of your releases.
Yeah.
You know, from Zogulinda to your brand new album, sure, to the gospel song Me and You Are Gonna Do. That's also going to change people's lives. But yeah, I just want to remind you that please continue being the person that you think you are and that you've walked like you are.
Thank you.
Because you are the person who you think you are.
Thank you so much.
I don't know what I just said.
It sounds so
deep.
Good.
Sounds very deep. And she agrees.
I agree. I'm going to be the best version of me, you know, and I thank God for the grace. And thank you so much for having me on your platform.
We're going to have you back.
Yes.
Yes. Ladies and gentlemen, Malay is about to leave the building. And please remember, singing in your own language is the most beautiful thing and most incredible honor that you could bestow upon yourself. Sesotho se monate. Eh, ke se China. We know. So how cheche.
This is Wow! What a week. What a week.
Shout out once again and as always to AMP Studios for housing us. Africa Podcast Network, shout out to you guys. Pezulu Works, loving your cinematography. And our audio engineer, special effects guy, Otis the Floor Fraser. To our guests, Malay Mpopops and Tech Keegan Pfeffa, CEO of Aduzi, and also our creative director, Kuvesh Mohan, and our show producer, Kelezo Modisa Geng. Email waw@africapodcastnetwork.com. Have a great and a wow week in spite of yourselves. See you next week.